I want to thank everyone for you coming back, some that are coming out for the first time this afternoon, possibly to worship with us. I want to thank you for your presence and your commitment to hear the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
If you'll meet me on Matthew chapter 22, the scripture that was read in our hearing, for those that may not have been with us on this morning, we spoke from in our continuous study in the Philippians on what Paul has shared with the Philippian church: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we talked about the mind of Christ and how Christ put others before him, and it led to, as we said on today, his sacrificing of himself for those, for others, as he said in there, that we look not on the things of ourselves, but also look at the things of others. What Jesus did, he looked at man in a sin-cursed state. He gave up, as we studied in the scriptures, he left glory and took off, the Bible says, he took off that which he was wearing, glory, up in heaven with his Father, and he came down to this sin-cursed land that he may die for us on the cross. And but he gave to us, as Paul said, a mindset. And so we're here this afternoon to worship God. And they still like to remind us that Christ is the audience. We are the participants, according to Acts 2:42 and verse 47. Those five acts that we have thus participated in, we now into the apostles' doctrine, into our giving, those that gave an opportunity to give, also communing with the Lord. Those that had not communed earlier was given that opportunity, prayers that was offered to the Lord on our behalf, and then we sung, thankful for the one that led us in song, praising God with the fruit of our lips. So we've done those things thus far that we find in the scriptures, which is our pattern for how we do things. So on this afternoon, we want to look at, in Matthew 22, from the subject where Jesus said that we should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's the part we're looking at on this afternoon, with all thy mind. But to set this up, in verse number 33 that was read in our hearing, they had tried to entrap Jesus with the question about in verses 24 and following, about what if a man died and had no children, and his brother should marry his wife and raise up seed, and then that man died and he had no children. What happened if he goes through the fact that he had six other brothers who married the same woman and none of them had any children? They asked Jesus the question, in the resurrection, verse 28, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her, they all was married to her. And Jesus' response to him, to them were, in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. He said, for in the resurrection, they'll neither marry nor are given in marriage, but all are as angels of God in heaven. But it's touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That's what Mike's on that song. I live on. Yeah, yeah, I live on. Yeah. In eternity, I live on. That's why we sing that song, because God is the God of the living, not those of the dead. And those that are faithful to the Lord, we should know that we're all going to die once. But if you're not faithful to God, you're going to die a second time. Yeah. And so the Bible says in verse 33, what we pick up, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine, or his teaching. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And so the word silence in the text means to muzzle them or to shut them up. Jesus got them and shut them up. When you're talking about what if a man married this time, Jesus shut them up. So now the Pharisees came up to bat. And then they had encouraged one of them, the Bible says in verse 35, which was a lawyer. Now this lawyer is not a lawyer as we look at as attorney, but this was a lawyer in biblical times, meant a teacher or a doctor of the law. That's what he was. Yeah, a lawyer in that sense. And he asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? In other words, he asked Jesus, which commandment must we keep over others? Which law is the most important law? And Jesus, as he always does, answered, as we should grow to answer. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's my text right there. Loving the Lord, thy God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus said, this is the first and the great commandment, which is, Lord, to love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Then he said, the second, it's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I want to speak a little bit from what Jesus, what did he mean by loving the Lord with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind? What is the difference in those texts? Well, we find, first of all, when we say to love the Lord with all our heart, that means our affections and desires should be on God. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 as we look at the definition of the word affections here. In Colossians chapter 3, the word affections, get that with you. Colossians chapter 3 and the verse number 2, where Paul in his letter to those that of Colossae, he said, set your affection. The word affection here means your mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. That does not mean that I can't be concerned about the affairs of life, but what Paul was saying, there ought to be a level. He said, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Our mindset ought to be on going to heaven. How can I live and straighten my life out that I make heaven my home? So Paul shared with them to set your affection, set your mind on things above. So that's one. That when he talks about the heart, that's the mind, the heart of the mind, to set it on the Lord. Set it on those things that are above, not on things that does not mean that I'm not to be concerned about my daily living. I'm not to be concerned about things. But he also, Paul, make mention that when you are a soldier for the Lord, he said in his letter to those that were Christians, he said, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. So you ought to understand that I don't allow myself to get entangled to the point that the affairs of this life, I allow that to be the ultimate thinking of me. I'm worried about life, worried about things that I ought not be worried about. The Lord said that then Paul told the Colossians, set your affection, set your mind on things that are above. And then secondly, we have with all thy soul. Jesus said not only with your mind, but the heart, in the text he used heart, but he's talking about the heart of mind, the one that we think with. But he also said with all thy soul. We serve God with our spiritual nature. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. and the verse is number 13, where Paul, talking to those about their spiritual nature, he says in verse number 13 of 1 Corinthians 2, he said, which things, well, I start in verse 12, he said, now we have not received, or we have received, excuse me, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. God has freely given us the word through the Holy Spirit that men wrote down for us. So we have that is freely given to us. He said, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So man has a spiritual nature, and what we do as spiritual, in our spiritual nature, we compare those things that are spiritual with things that are spiritual. Where do you get spiritual things from? Spiritual things come from the Word of God. That's how we serve the Lord and love the Lord with all, not only with all my heart, but with all my soul. I serve God and I love God based on those things that are written in the Word of God. And then I have to make that transition from being that person that I used to be. Because he said, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Some people, you try to teach the Word of God, and it is foolishness unto them. You know, they don't see why you got to do that. Why you got to do that? Well, it's foolish unto them. Why? Because they're in their natural state. But we are spiritual in our nature because of the Word of God that's in us. He said, notice, neither can they know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Yeah, we can go in the Word of God and discern things spiritually. We ought to be able to go to the Word of God as we grow in the Word of God and be able to say, even when it comes to worship service, we ought to be able to identify when worship service is not sound, when we're doing things that are not in keeping with the Word of God. Why? Because we measure those things from a spiritual nature, and we can see those things. So again, the Bible teaches us not only do we love God with all our heart, but also our soul. And then what we talk about our text tonight, he said, with all thy mind. Yeah, the mind. The faculty that has the ability to think. We talked about the mind this morning. The mind is the ability to think from a moral standpoint or morality, that my decisions and my choices are based on my moral thinking. We give all God, all of these things make up my heart, my soul, and my mind make up those things in my service to God. But we're talking about the mind tonight. Look in Romans chapter 12. Give us a couple of scriptures and the message will be yours. I want to talk a little bit about the mind of Christ, because Jesus said that we should love the Lord with all our mind. Well, in Romans chapter 12, and the verse is number 2, talking about, now we're looking at the mind. The mind. Yeah. The Bible says in Romans 12 and 2, well, I'll start in verse 1. Paul wrote to the Romans. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that reasonable means the ability to reason. We serve God when we think. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we have to renew our mind. What does renewing mean? To make new spiritually, to regenerate. Yeah, we can, our hearts can become, our minds become new when we fill it up with the Word of God. And so what Paul was telling the Romans then, don't conform yourself with the world, but you have to make a change in your life. I was talking to my brothers, and I was saying with them, you got to make a change in your life. You've obeyed the Lord. I told your brother next to me, Chester, you can't go where you used to go. Yeah, you can't do what you... Understand this here. You're not strong enough yet to be out there with them wolves. They will eat you up. Share that with him. Yeah, share it. You need to stay out there. I say you... Now, you understand this here. You're going to have those that may encourage you, and they're going to be those that's going to put you down. But understand this here. You have to renew. You have to change. He told me to say, so Furman, what you saying? I got to turn. Change. Yeah, you got to change. You got to change. All of us have to change. How we change? By renewing our mind. How we know? We renew our mind spiritually. Why? We renew our mind. The word prove here, that we can prove what is good and what is acceptable. What the word acceptable means, what is pleasing and what is the complete will of God. How? We do that when we change our mind from how we used to live. Yeah, Paul said that. And then secondly, Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 23, similar text that he said, where Paul talked about what we ought to do and how we get there. How do we do that? Paul gave an excellent example. Notice what he said in verse number 21 of Ephesians chapter 4. He said, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation. Oh, man, that's how we used to live. We was out there in the world and doing those things. He said, you got to put that thing off. Then he says that you put on, notice, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. In other words, when we were in the world, we had desires that were corrupt according to the word of God. Notice what he said, verse 23 is our verse. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yeah, that means to make new. How do I make my mind new? Well, the answer to that, 2 Corinthians, my last text on this evening, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, because Paul said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Yeah, you got to put off those things, those former desires I have, but I got to renew my mind. How do I renew my mind, Paul? Well, he told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and let us look at verse number 16. Talk about the mind on this afternoon. To love the Lord with all thy heart. That's my affections toward him, my desires toward him. Also, not only with my heart, but with my soul, that's the spiritual nature of man that serves God. But then he said, also with my mind. And then Paul said on two occasions, one, to renewing of your mind. And then he said, to renew in the spirit of your mind. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and the verse is number 16, Paul said this, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. How is that possible? Because when I go to the Word of God and I read it every day, I can renew myself spiritually. I can renew myself. So Paul said, even though I'm getting older, even though physically I may not be the person that I used to be, Paul said, that's the outward man. That's the man, that man that they saw Jesus, the outward man, but also there's an inward person. And Paul says to each of us that that inward man has the ability to regenerate or to renew himself on a daily basis. That's why I encourage everybody. Every morning, I just encourage you, every morning, make time every morning when you get up to find the Word of God and renew yourself. Find time. Time, like I said, you don't have to find it. I say make time. Let me correct myself. Because time is not lost. You don't have to find it. It's just look at your watch, look at your phone. Time is right there. We have to, in my daily life, when I get up in the morning, I want to make time in the morning. You know, sometimes I know what it means. Sometimes you can get up and you may not be in the right disposition you need to be in. But it's something about the Word of God that just calms your spirit. It's something about just spending time with the Lord, reading the Word of God. Just, you know, you can be angry and upset or mad or disappointed, and reading the Word of God allows me to renew that spiritual man. And so on this afternoon, as I said, Jesus said, we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. And the mind that he's talking about is that mind that we develop through the Word of God that allows us to present ourselves that we are now pleasing to God. Why? Because we are now doing the will of God, having studied the Word of God. If there's someone here on this afternoon that would like to respond to the gospel message, again, we know that one, become a Christian, as the gentleman did this morning. You hear the gospel, the three facts that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. You must believe those three facts. Then the Bible tells us, not only do I believe that, but I repent of my sin. I turn from the way I've been living, and I turn to God. I then make the confession that Jesus said in Matthew 10:32 that one must make. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We find that in Acts 8:37, where the eunuch made the confession prior to being baptized. You make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you commit that obedience by doing the same thing Jesus did. Jesus died for sin. You have to die to sin. Jesus was buried in a tomb. You're buried in a liquid tomb. It's called baptism. It's in water. And we understand by faith that the blood of Christ is in the water, and that's what cleanses a person of all their past sin. And then when you come up out of water, Romans 6:3-4, you arise to a newness of life. If there's anyone that is subject to the invitation, we bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.